All right. Good morning, church. Hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving this last week. I personally enjoyed a good getaway. I got to go back to Missouri. Introduced my new baby to the rest of my family. But I hope everybody also got some good food and some good rest. And in this season, like Chip said this morning and like Chris said last week, I hope that we remember to be thankful for the Holy Spirit that lives in us and dwells in us. And I hope that we remember to be thankful for Christ who died on that cross so that way the Holy Spirit could come and dwell on us. I need to slow down. I know, everybody. Obviously, I'm not the person that's normally up here. Hi, for those of you that don't know me. I'm Blaine. I'm the youth pastor. I seen a joke this morning that said, the church usually gets excited when the youth pastor preaches because church usually lasts about 20 minutes less. I'm going to try and not speed through this. If you're a regular, it's good to see you. Sorry. Just kidding. And if you're new, I promise I won't be back up here next week. I told Chip to also prepare a few extra songs for the Invitational. Before we get started, children, you guys are dismissed for children's church. I think Miss Rose and Miss Kelly are going to be in the back. But in all seriousness, I am super excited to get to share this week's message with you guys. Also, sorry for the people watching. I'm going to read off this paper, so you might just see the top of my head the whole time. We're going to be picking up where Chris left off last week in the book of Acts. And now, over the last 2 weeks, we've been in the new church, and we've seen the Holy Spirit come down and dwell upon the apostles and work miracles through them. And last week, Chris left off with Peter giving a sermon to those who witnessed these miracles. And he's addressing those who doubted what they seen, who had called them drunkards. And where we take off this week, Peter's going to start off with a statement that has raised a modern theological debate. And that question is, do we as Christians need to be baptized to be saved? But before we get into that, let's go to the Lord in prayer and pray he can help me get through this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to come together and worship you, God. Thank you for using me as a mouthpiece. I was always told that you could make a donkey talk, so you could make me talk. And I pray that your words are used this morning and not my own. And I pray that you touch the hearts of somebody with these words this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So, the book of Acts. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 37. Well, actually, we're going to back it up one verse where Chris ended last week, because it's really good. So, Acts 2, verses 36 through 37, says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So here Peter is talking to everyone who's just witnessed the Holy Spirit come down on them, and more specifically, he was talking to the doubters, which they had seen, and he says, you already know the truth. You already know that Jesus was the Christ, and you guys were the ones that crucified him, and that God sent him, and it says they were cut to the heart. It means they did realize that what Peter was saying is true. So how they respond is amazing. What do we do? And so picking up in verse 38, he explains, going through verses 38 and 39, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Now, this is the verse that raises the question. Do we as Christians need to be baptized to be saved? And if so, are we not saved by faith alone, or are we saved by faith plus works? Now, the cause of this question is in verse 38. It says, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And the word in question here is the word for, and more specifically, the Greek word. I don't have a projector, so I can't put it up there. I don't have an iPad. It's pronounced eis, and it's spelled E-I-S. Now, this Greek word, or the assumption, is that this word, when it is said for the remission of your sins, for means in order to receive or in order to get remission or forgiveness for your sins. But just like the English version for, the Greek word also has multiple meanings. And so we'll go into some of these real quick. So some of those meanings are in order to receive, because of, or as a result of, or in regard to. Now all of these would fit this verse. You could put each one of those in there, and it would make sense. But there are three other verses that use this word eis in conjunction to the word to baptism or baptize. So the first verse that goes into that is Matthew 3, verse 11. Now, Matthew 3, verse 11 says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, where it uses that word, that eis, is at the very beginning. It says, I baptize you with water unto repentance. Now, the word eis is translated to unto there. And we can make the assumption there that it's not saying you need to be baptized in order to get repentance. It's you've repented and now be baptized. Again, in lost my place. Romans 6:3. It says, or do you not know that many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Now that word there into is what eis is translated to. And it's, we were baptized as a result of his death. And then the last verse is 1 Corinthians 10:2. Sorry, I'm making y'all flip this morning. It says, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now, again, eis is translated to into there. Meaning, as a result of Moses in the cloud, we were baptized. So, if it's consistent that the way that eis is used in conjunction with the word baptized, we can make the conclusion that Acts 23 is also referred to as being a result of. Now that's the grammatical explanation of saying that baptism is not a requirement for salvation. Now, the other places in the Bible that prove this is 1 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 12. The church of Corinth is arguing, who is it better to be baptized under? Is it better to be baptized under Paul or under Apollo or under Cephas or under Jesus? And Paul is baffled by this and says, you guys have missed the point. I wasn't sent here to baptize you. In fact, I'm glad I didn't baptize many of you because you've missed the mark. I wasn't sent here to baptize you. I was sent to preach the gospel. And then in Romans 1, verse 16, he says that the gospel is what saves. The gospel is salvation. So Paul's making the, splitting up those two words, baptize and salvation. So with that, we can conclude that baptism is not part of the gospel, so it's not necessary for salvation. Now, don't mishear me. I'm not saying that baptism isn't important. I'm just saying that all that water does is get you wet. Baptism is a step of obedience, but it's not a requirement of salvation. The perfect example of this is the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross was never baptized, and Jesus said, "You will be in heaven with me today." And that's what happened. Now, continuing on, and with many other words he testified, or going back to Acts 2, verse 40, it says, "And with many other words he testified and exhorted men, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' And then those who gladly received his word were baptized." So again, there's that split. "And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers." So the point that I'm trying to make today is that lost my place. Back up. We're just going to back up. So, and it says, "And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and all things had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as everyone needed. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Yep, way out of time, but I totally went through everything I had. But the point of the message this morning was, If that truth isn't something that you've ever heard of, that truth that Jesus died on the cross, or you've been told there's other things that you have to do to be saved, Jesus is the only way to heaven, and that there's nothing else. There's nothing else you need. So, Chip, we're totally going to have a time of invitation, buddy. I'm about, 25 minutes behind. I did better than the 20 minutes. So you guys can all come up, worship team. Now, if this salvation is something you've never heard of, or maybe you have and have never made that decision to accept Christ as your Savior, and today's that day, like Chris, I'm going to stand up here awkwardly up front, or if you have something on your heart and you just need to come lay it at the feet of Christ, it'll be up here, and...